Welcome to Black Girl in CLE, the podcast. I am your host, Shayna Black, and in each episode, my special guest and I will talk about local events, the topic of access in Cleveland, and sometimes we'll just talk about some cool people who are doing cool things in the greater Cleveland area. I'll introduce you to this week's guest right after this. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. I am your host as always, Shayna Black, and today I have two special guests. One guest I'm just so honored to be here with. Like, they asked to be on this show and I was just like, absolutely, not to take away from you. Today I have Miss Gina Tucker and Wesley Wood, authors of The Black Print. Welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's just take a step back, because are you co-authors or how does that work?
I started writing this book way before me and Wes like hooked up, but I would pick it up, put in my notes, put it down, don't touch it for years. One day Wes came to my house to do an interview about my son that is now in the NBA. And I realized that I told Wes my whole life story within an hour or so. And he was kind of like in tears, but I had never told the story before. I was comfortable with him. And he was like in tears saying, like, you should write a book. And I said, well, I started, but it's just, I can't, you know, get with it. So he was like, you know, I can record you and, you know, write it and we can, you know, I'll co-write and all of that. And I'm like, really? So I was kind of like guarded because I never really tell, you know, what happened to me or, you know, my past. But with Wes, it was just different. I felt a connection there and we got busy.
Nice.
Yeah, when we sat down for the interview, it was like a deep moment. It was like a bunch of people around, but it was like, you know, we just like locked in on a conversation, and she was talking about how she shared things that she never really like shared before. And we had cameras and lights on her too, so it was crazy that she was like sharing that much still. It was like the project we created with that interview was so powerful that even brought people to tears, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I'm sure. So I didn't finish the book quite yet, but It's a journey. Like, you take us on a journey. Now, first, before we go any further, do you want to tell us who your NBA son is?
Oh, of course. That's my baby, Terry Rozier.
Yes. Scary Terry, yes, as they call him.
That's my dog.
Yes. You're telling us this story, and it's a story of your life in this book. I like the way it starts, like, just the story with you're going with your grandbaby to the store. And it starts with, like, what's your favorite color? And that's an innocent question most kids ask, right?
Yes.
Right? Like, hey, mom, what's your favorite color? What's your favorite color? You know? And, like, when he said red, what was, you tell the story of it, but did that give you pause? Like, what did you think?
It gave me that it was just in his DNA. Like, red, you know, we were always surrounded with red all our life. So I grew up in Youngstown, Ohio. And that's where, you know, we're originally from. And we were dead smack in the middle of the violence. So you had to choose a side. So, mm-hmm. You know, I choose the blood side. And that's just what it was.
Right. And so this book takes us through that journey of your interactions as the blood side. And then you also had issues based on which side of town you were. So if even it wasn't blood, crip, red, blue, then it was north side, south side, east, west, what have you, of Youngstown, right?
Yeah, so it was a lose-lose.
Right, and you actually end up in that situation in this book. Yes. Like, I read about that with, I think it was Ricky?
Yes,
right?
Tredasia's father.
Tredasia's father. Tredasia is the oldest, and that's your daughter, right?
Yes.
And so let me just pause, because I know you. We haven't seen each other in probably, I feel like forever, but it's been since Terry was in high school. So if we get familiar, like, that's what's happening, like, you know. But so Tredasia's your oldest, yes. And you tell a story about her and meeting her dad, or who would become her dad. And that story, I'll tell you, was eye-opening. And I was sitting here with the cleanagers who were in the office, and James is still here. And I'm, like, just reading it out loud, like, oh, my gosh, she got shot. She got shot while she was pregnant, right? Because I didn't know what happened to Tredasia. I just knew that she had been in, like, some of the special needs classes, had assisted walking devices. But I didn't know Tredasia was related.
Really?
Not in school.
Oh, wow.
You know, different last names. And I didn't see her in the school. And Terry was just, you know, being Terry. So I didn't know until this. And then all the pieces started to fall into place.
Yeah, so I was about 6 months pregnant. And it was some shooting outside We kind of dramatized it in a book, but it was some shooting outside my mother's home, and I fell directly on my stomach. Mm. And that's how I went into labor with her.
So not counting in the book, it seems like there were a lot of shootings at your mom's house.
It was.
And I think the one time was at the house. Like, there were a couple times at the house.
Yeah. Shooting. We had people shoot up the house several times.
Yeah, I think in the beginning of the book there was one. And that's kind of, you know, your story. Like, this is the life that you grew up with.
Yes, pretty much the black print is how I dealt with trauma, addiction, grief, death, everything that anyone besides myself can go through. You know, everyone has a story. So I kind of made it okay for people to tell their truth and not be ashamed of it, because I'm not always writing that book as well.
Right.
But I took the power away because I let everybody know not only what people did to me is what I did to other people as well.
Right. I know Wesley said we can make this book, but you said you had already started writing it. Mm-hmm. At what point, like, was it part of your healing process, or did you just say, like, this is a story I have to tell at this point? You kind of just said that, but.
No, what made me start writing was actually probably, like, the first chapter, me healing, like, from the trauma with my mom and my dad splitting. I think that was, like, I had a lot of pain in that book, so people need mm-hmm. to read mm-hmm. it with an open mind. But I think that was, like, pretty much my first introduction to pain is my dad turning into an alcoholic. He was like a king to me. Like, yeah. He had the nicest things, and he just turned like to nothing in front of my eyes. And, you know, the marriage just split up. Just me seeing that as a little girl, and then seeing my mother and my father have a great marriage, to it just breaking up into her getting beat on, you know, domestic violence, like a person after a person, like, it just made me, it made me numb.
Yeah, I think, you know, we talk about generational trauma and how that can happen and how that unfolds. And I think, you know, reading this book and seeing where your family is now, like, it seems like you were the person to heal that. You know, like, your sister was going through abuses. And you had been abused in relationships, yes. Correct?
Well, in the book, it's so funny because I looked at my mom and said it would never be me, but it ended up being me. So you got to be careful what you say, right. Pretty much. But I used to be so angry at my mom about men hitting her and stuff like that. But it ended up being, I ended up walking the same shoes.
Do you think, and this is just outside of the book, but just talking about the healing experience, do you think because you saw that, like, you talk about, that's what you came to know as relationships. Do you think that that was part of how you form relationships? Because you were pretty young, and, you know, in the beginning of some of these things that you were dealing with, and that was your image that you saw.
I formed relationships off of trauma. Every relationship I had up until maybe a few years ago was, I'm just now, and you never stop healing, so
right.
I'm just now at a point where I'm able to love a man fully.
Okay.
Without any bitterness or anger from my past, my mother past, you know, and I think the book and me talking with Wes a lot was a huge part of that.
So Wes, how long did it take for you to get all the stories out and to write this book? Because I'm hoping it's not just that one conversation in an hour.
Oh, no. we had a bunch of sessions where we sat down and really just had conversations. Like
pandemic.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a pandemic book.
Yes.
And we recorded them, and I took a bunch of notes, and we dug deep, you know, like, we really was trying to, like, get to the root, as it says in the book.
Yeah. So. Did you, like, interview her and dig deeper? You know, because we all tell stories, and then, but, you know, we tell stories, just tell them, like, yeah. But there's so, like you said, we didn't get to the root. Did you prompt and probe and, like,
absolutely.
Unfold
like,
that?
Stories are so raw and real, so her just telling them alone was like a, I'm a visual thinker, so, like, her just, like, explaining, like, and this dude hopped out, and then we seen this dude on the ground, and I'm just like, oh, you know what I'm saying? So.
And not to interrupt, but I could not have picked a more perfect writer than Wes. Nice. Like, what was important is that you read this book and feel like you're there. I want people to smell what I smell. I want people to see what I, and he is, like, amazing with that.
So was, are you, like, I don't know your background, so tell us a little bit about your background. Like, are you a novelist?
I'm a screenplay writer.
Oh, okay.
Yep, so I'm a filmmaker, a director, nice. Producer, And that's where it really started with me, just learning how to create screenplays.
Okay.
So when I heard her story, when we sat down, I saw it.
Seeing pictures.
Yeah. I really saw the movie. I saw her movie. And like thinking about the details of a movie, it's really enough.
Yeah, I can't wait to see the movie.
Because it's coming.
And it does read like that. Like, yes. You get the visual as you're reading. And I think I wasn't prepared because I didn't know what I was reading when I first opened the book. Like, okay, I know of Tara Rozier. I kind of know your family. Like, I know parts and pieces. And I didn't know what this book was going to be. Like, well, you know, and I was reading it at the hair shop yesterday. And somebody was like, well, what is this? I was like, it's like her autobiography. Like, it's her story. And it's in memory form in some way. Like, the beginning with the trip to Aldi's. I said, and there's moments where you're living through this with you. Which was very interesting. So let's go back to healing, though, because the foreword in the Blackberry Tree quote was like, properly heal, you have to visit and correct the root of the issue that caused the pain. So you better stop fixing symptoms and find the root cause instead. And that's kind of the premise of this book, right?
Definitely. My fixing symptoms was addiction, anger. And if you would have asked me about 5 or 6 years ago, girl, I was healed. Oh, I'm fine. But I suppressed it. And not until we started doing those sessions, I was like, I'm nowhere near. I have to really dig deep and deal with this. It's to the point where I don't even know how to cry. Mm. I'm so used to bad things happening. My whole body will not allow me to cry or feel my emotions.
So when's the last time you have cried? Do you know?
No, it works up. My eyes get teary, but it doesn't come down. So that's what I'm working on, because you always need a good cleansing. And that's what I want to call it. A cry is a good cleansing.
Okay.
But I always took hard on my sons. You bet not cry. I rough you up. I punch you in mm-hmm. the chest. And now I hate that I did that to them, because I want them to be able to feel their emotions. Because people that don't feel their emotions live in really a fake life a little bit. They're hurting the inside, suppressing it. And now I know that I was living that life.
Do you think you could unfold that in your family?
Oh, I've started. Okay. Yes. They actually tell me that they do. They're starting to feel it, but that's what I did to them. Like, you bet not cry.
Okay. So your story goes from Youngstown, and then it comes here to Cleveland. What do you think, like, how does it get here? Like, I got to the point of you moving home, and your mom's headed this way. What brought her to that decision? And maybe I just didn't get to that point yet, to come to Cleveland.
I really don't know what brought her to that decision, but she broke my heart. I tell you that. She just left one day. She was like, I'm taking the kids. I'm taking Trey. I'm leaving. And I'm like, what? I don't want to live in Cleveland. Like, no. I stayed back, and Terry was with me, and Terry's father got into a aggravated robbery, murder charge. And that's when not only Trey was already here, I had to send Terry as well, because we had threats on Terry that someone was going to kill him because of his father. And that really broke my heart. So not only my first child, now my second child has to come here.
Right.
Now that I look back, in many ways, it was a blessing. But you couldn't tell me that then. It was no.
And, you know, the thought of letting a child go, like, you made that decision twice to say go live with grandma in Cleveland. You know, it's not like living with grandma around the corner.
Exactly.
And so you had to continue on. I think, what's the story you want readers to really, like, what's the story of all the stories between, you know, the Rickies and, was I think Junie, the stepdad, or your mom? Like, what's the story you think people would capture kind of this story for you?
I think the story is hurt people hurt people. Hmm. And a lot of trauma that I endured, instead of dealing with it, I kind of, you know, lived my life and gave other people trauma too.
Right.
So I can say all day I was a great mother. I loved all my kids, but I think that was my outlet from everything else in the world that I was going to. Like, you couldn't come in. That's why I'm so protective over my kids. And then a lot of people don't get that. Like, she's so guarded or she's aggressive, because my kids is all I have. And I don't really care how that looks to anyone. So I just think that this story is going to help people that went through pretty much a lot of stuff that's in that book. I can't even, you know, you can say some of the stuff that's in there, but it's a lot of stuff that's in there that I'm pretty sure that people have similarities. And if I can make it, you know, yeah, a lot of other people can.
Wesley, as the writer, what do you think people should walk away from? Or what do you want? What do you hope that the story that you put out reaches them and helps them with?
To just explore their traumas and to, like, look into them. You know what I mean? And, like really be able to identify what hurt them so they can heal it instead of, like, being healing. Like, everyone wants to be healing, but no one wants to be healed, you know? So, like,
oh, that's good.
Figuring out, like, what you need to do to fix it so you can be at peace.
Right. So the perfect people are healing, but the perfect people are not looking inside themselves.
Right.
Their flaws.
Right.
So I tell everyone all the time, like, I don't want the perfect people around me. I want somebody that's been through some stuff that's okay with it, you know, so.
That's on the journey.
Yes. Because I just watched an interview, was it yesterday? Viola Davis on the Breakfast Club. Mm-hmm. That interview was so much substance for me. And she was saying how healing is a long time journey. And she was saying how she wrote her book and she just passed the baton from her 6-year-old self to her 14-year-old self. And just, you don't know what you're going to go through tomorrow. So you don't know what's going to happen in life. So I think people just need to be real with themselves.
I agree. I think, you know, I have a friend and we often talk about, like, our past versions of ourselves. So I'll say past Shayna and future Shayna. And it's always amazing when you look back at what, like, I'm sure for you, like, what past Gina endured.
Oh, my God.
and going through it, like, I'm sure, I know for me, like, I don't think that you probably could have ever imagined this place today.
No.
Especially, like, when you were in some of these chapters here in the book, you weren't just like, but wait until, you know, after a pandemic, I'll be great, right?
Right.
I think, you know, when you think about that, if you could go back and talk, like, if you could go back to any versions of yourself in this book that we talk about, like, which version, where in this book would you go back to comfort yourself?
A little girl. I would talk to myself as a young girl and say, you are beautiful and it's not your fault. Because I thought everything was my fault and I can't protect everyone.
Right.
I was trying to protect my mom when I was like 10. So it wasn't my fault that she got beat. It wasn't my fault that I wasn't able to protect her. So that would be my biggest thing that, you know.
Okay. Cool. Wesley, question for you. As you wrote this book, how did it impact you? I mean, like, you're reading someone's story. You're part of someone's story as they heal. Did that help you on a journey in some way? Or is it just like, hey, I'm just here to be the writer and it's all good?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'm really just gracious to be able to tell such an important, like, story. So, I mean, like, I was inspired the whole, you know, the whole journey.
And where were you from? Like, you guys met, were you in Youngstown? Were you from Youngstown?
I'm from Cleveland.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, we met in Cleveland.
Okay. A place you didn't want to come to.
I'm from the Yo, but I love Cleveland, and, you know, equally, not as the Yo, but
now,
equally to live here. I've been here for a while, but Florida is my home.
Okay.
Soon.
You talked about going back and, like, in the beginning, as you're driving to, I think it's the Aldi's story, as you're taking your grandson and seeing that Welcome to Youngstown sign and even realizing that that was a space of trauma or hurt for you.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Can you go back to Youngstown now and just be like, yeah, good times? Or does it still have a little bit of pain?
Every time I go back to Youngstown, it feels like home.
Good.
It's always pain, though. The stuff that's going on there right now is still, like, it makes me feel like a dark cloud is over me. Sometimes I go down there now because it's still a lot of shooting. Kids are getting murdered. And like, it's happening all over the world. But if you knew Youngstown, it was, like, tiniest city ever. So everyone knows each other, and they're just, like, you know, senses killing. And at one point, I was a part of that. So now that I go back and see, like, how could I even be around people like that, or, you know, but it was a product of my environment. I'm not blaming nobody but myself because I was there. That was my space. That's where I was comfortable at.
Are you comfortable now? You're different. Is it a different comfortable in that space? Because you're not the same.
I'm not comfortable hanging with the gangbangers.
Right. I mean, like, it's not the same. Right. You're just comfortable being.
I'm going to tote my gun to protect myself. I'm going to tell you that. But yeah, I'm not comfortable. Yeah. I'm comfortable with just, you know, sometimes I don't even feel comfortable even going to like certain spots down there because it's easy to get in trouble.
Okay. Do you give back now? I mean, to Youngstown or to, I know like Terry's set up the foundation. Are you part of that? Like what's your, beside the book, is there more that you want to do to go back and help those folks?
Oh my gosh. So I am the executive director of the Terry Rozier Foundation and we give back to Cleveland and Youngstown.
Okay.
All of the time. So we do coat giveaways, we do camps, we do book bags. I mean, we do everything and we do it like once or twice a year. So we do both. So okay. We give back to both cities.
Okay. Wesley, what do you want people to take away from this book? Or what is it that, you know, as the writer, like what is the part where you're just like, this is the meat of it? Like in this chapter, the story really unfolds.
I have my personal favorites.
What are those?
Like Red Flags Everywhere is a personal favorite. Because mm-hmm. it's like a cinematic intro almost. But I think my biggest goal as you know, writing this along with Gina is just to evoke emotion because it's a lot of like points where we take people there, you know. So we really want people to feel what she felt, you know, and like kind of like experience it with her. So
do you think it's relatable for folks?
For some people, absolutely, absolutely.
What I'll say is I liked about it was even if you didn't go through those experiences, you can go along the journey. You know, and so as I read it, like, I'm like, wow, like, because that's not my upbringing, not my background. But, and so in the beginning, I'm like, ooh, I don't know about this. Like, ooh, like, because I'm guarded and I just hadn't unfolded yet either. And just, you know, the story takes off. So, it's I mean, heavy. The first chapter is red flags everywhere. And I'm like, oh, red flags. Like, I'm thinking the Facebook red flag, you know, like, and I'm like, oh, wow, like, there's some red flags.
It's red flags, but, for real.
But as I kept reading and reading, like, I haven't put it down. And so even before the interview, like, people were talking to me, and I'm like, I'm into this. Oh, wow. And that's how I started reading the others because you get immersed in the book. So I appreciate you and your writing for that.
Thank you.
And telling that story. Gina, what about you? Like, what's the point where, like, this was cathartic for you and healing for you. Like, was there a moment where you started releasing through this? I'm guessing it wasn't page one, like, let me just tell you, like, but there's probably a point you released more.
The last chapter.
Okay.
Every chapter in that book was traumatizing for me. My most heaviest chapters is Monster and Heavy. People would think it might be others, but Monster and Heavy is kind of my lowest moment in life. But then that's when it made me, something inside me made me say, oh, no more pills. Go back to school, move to Cleveland, take care of your kids. So that's when something birthed inside of me, like, no more trauma. Let's start this healing process.
I'm just reading all your chapters. And actually, like, just looking at your chapter summary, you know, like, Monster Heavy, and you can see, like, the way the chapters unfold as you're unfolding. So you start off with red flags, we hit Heavy, and then next you're looking at, like, you know, God's drum roll, Gina's soul, you know, damage good. You can see the work being done, which I think I appreciate just the layout, the chapter, like just all the thought that went into this book.
Yes, we were really, really into the chapters. Like I had to, like, it had to be perfect.
Yeah, I like the names. Tell me about the cover, right? Because this art is kind of really the collage of everything.
That cover is something that I thought of. Actually, in my head, I was thinking of it. And just like I came in here today and met you, me and Wes has this connection where he'll say something and something will happen, or I'm thinking about this chapter and I just text a guy to do a painting for me. His name is Mike, or he does tattoos and paintings here in Cleveland. So as soon as I text Mike, Wes sent me a text like, maybe we should have Mike do the, you know. I'm like, oh my God, I'm already on it. I had already sent them the text. So I sent him a picture of myself and a list. Everything you see on there, just a list of things. And he killed that.
That's nice. Hopefully you have it framed. It's a really nice.
Oh, yes, I do.
It's a really nice cover art. It's on your shirt. And actually, because you gave me one, we're going to give away a shirt and a book today.
Oh, great.
So when you listen to the podcast, it'll be on our social media for people to win and read the book and give some feedback. So thank you for bringing the book. I might take the one back from James giveaway too.
Right. Because
I told him I'll let him read mine. And so before we close out, because I thank you for coming in, you've told me kind of the message. What is, like, what's something that you still felt like, wow, you didn't really ask me, and I just really have to tell people this before we go? Like, last words for both of you.
Right. I think, you know, we just want people to read the book and just go on a journey, you know, with Gina, or I should say Pootie to Gina.
Yeah.
And just experience what we, you know, what we're, experience the art, you know?
Okay.
And then also just to read with an open mind, because it's very heavy. It's my trauma. It's what I dealt with. But it is, like, I read it myself, and being that I went through it, I still cry right now sometimes on some of the chapters. But it's very heavy, but it's needed.
Okay.
So
for folks that are still dealing with their traumas, should we probably say there's, like, a trigger warning on that? Maybe for some folks, do you think? Like, if you grew up in, maybe, you know, the unhealed folks that, like, it might take somebody back someplace. That's what I just was thinking about as we protect others' mental spaces.
Well, really, if it do trigger them, they keep reading. They'll get to the point where your triggers is going to happen, regardless if you're reading or if you're having an argument or if someone comes by and just does something to trigger you. So therefore, it's kind of telling people, like, anything can trigger you. Everybody has trauma, but it's time to start dealing with it.
Absolutely. All right. My guests today are Gina Tucker and Wesley Wood, authors of The Black Print. The story of Gina's life. Gina, one more question. Is there another book in you?
Actually, that book stops in 2015. So, yes, we do have another book. But okay. We're trying to make that a movie first. But I guess we're going to be working really hard.
We got a lot of work to do.
Are you going
to
just, are there books in you? Like, is this your thing now?
Oh, I do have books in me. I do. Okay. I feel like I can write a healing book. I feel like I can start writing the books for women that, you know, have problems treating men right, you know, so.
She absolutely can.
Yeah. I think you can, too. Like, I can see a whole, like, and then you're going to speak, and then you're going to, like, yeah, I see that for you. Yes. So thank you so much for joining me. Please, both of you, anytime, keep me informed, come back on the show, like, totally enjoying
having you. Thank you so much.
And we will give these books away, so make sure you're following us on social. And everyone else, thanks for listening. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Black Girl in CLE, the podcast. Please check us out online at www.blackgirlincle.com and like and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at blackgirlincle. This podcast was recorded in Cleveland, Ohio, with post-production by the talented interns at Black Girl Media. Copyright 2019, all rights reserved and retained by Black Girl Media, LLC. Talk to you next time.